So I want to start by just saying a word about where this idea comes from. I've had a few people say to me things that more one version or another of, do we really need to do this? And the answer, I think, is no, that it's not an absolute imperative need. There are days when you come in here and there's very clearly a place for a new person to sit. I would say today actually is, that's not as clear. I was noticing today that when people were coming into the sanctuary after we'd gotten started, there were people having to move chairs around in the back and some to go up to the balcony. And those are the kinds of things that for someone who's not determined to come in and find a spot, those can actually leave some people feeling like, well, there isn't really room for me here, and heading out the back door. Or just not coming back because it was such a hassle or it was actually embarrassing to make people move when I came in. So that's to say, on some weeks, it almost feels like a need. Other weeks, there's plenty of room. And I think we all know that. I think last week, there would have been plenty of chairs for a person who didn't know our community to find a place to sit and be part of worship. So it's there are weeks where it feels like a bit of a need, other weeks where it really doesn't. But I think for me, the motivating factor on this is more about it being a possible opportunity. I'm of the belief that there are lots of people in Geneva, English speakers, who could be connected to a church community, but for one reason or another are not. And I think the more ways that we find to connect with those people, the more possibilities we have for kind of fulfilling something of our mission. And a service at another time, which is what Terry and I are going to talk a little bit about, may be one way to go about that. Anything else I should add as intro? You want to take over for a moment, Terry? I should say our plan here is that Terry and I are going to give a little bit of back and forth at the beginning to introduce this, and then the bulk of the time, I hope, is conversation. So we'll probably break into two or three smaller groups and just ask some questions to talk with each other about this, because this isn't wholly a decision up to Terry and me. This is something that we want the community thinking about and caring about as well, if it's something we're going to try.
And so one of the questions also that I think for a long time we haven't asked ourselves is, do we really want to grow? And what does it mean to grow? And where are we with the gospel, which encourages churches to grow? And so part of the question is, are we sort of, we are in Geneva, to stay stable is already quite amazing. Okay? Just to stay where we are is already a big deal in this town, which is highly secularized. Okay? So it is not easy to find people who are not part of church, who all of a sudden decide that old church would be a wonderful thing in their life. It's a very secular city, and many of the English-speaking people who come here are very secularized people, meaning church just doesn't matter to them at all. So the question is also, could we think about what it means to grow and what that might look like, and who might we serve if we did that? The other thing is stability. We are quite stable, but we also need to recognize that with the anti-immigration stuff going on in Switzerland, and with the weakness of some of the ecumenical agencies upon which we used to draw all the time, we know those staffs are not going to increase over the next few years. It's going to be a harder pull to remain stable. So maybe it is better if we think about growing rather than just kind of maintaining where we are.
So we would be far from the first church to go from one service to trying two. I mean, churches everywhere go through this process and give this a try. And there are always gifts and challenges with doing this. And they're unique from place to place, but also some things that probably we can imagine and some things that come up for us. So that's going to be part of our time today, is to let those things emerge from all of you. What kind of things would be exciting about trying something like this? And what in this would be a challenge? Terry and I have done some thinking about that ourselves. We know that in one sense, it would not be that hard to do a second time basically what we do on Sunday morning. that we have, I think you all know, a fair amount of preparation goes into getting a Sunday morning ready in terms of preparing the liturgy, getting the music together, preparing a sermon, all of those things. If we're not talking about a totally other thing, if we're talking about using some of that work that's been done, that can be done a second time without a whole lot of additional prep work. It involves people being there to actually lead the second service, but it doesn't involve creating the whole thing again. So there's a sense in which this could be a way to use some of the work that's already been done in preparing for Sunday, getting a little bit more use out of that. So I think that's one thing that's, that argues it might, in some ways, it won't be so much more work to give this a try. There are other things that will be additional work. I mean, we don't expect the person who reads for one service now to come back in the evening and read for that service. So probably we would need to find a bit larger pool of people who are ready to be assisting ministers and readers and things like that. But we also know there are ways that when the need is there, often it happens. And so if we set the stage and realized we needed additional people to do those things, I have some confidence that would take care of itself and would happen. And we could find some ways around that. Moving on.
What at least Andy and I are talking about is not another kind of service. We tried that a couple of years ago. Remember when we did the garden services, which were pretty much totally different than what we did on Sunday morning?
Different music,
whole different idea. We rewrote the liturgy, had a different sermon. And what we learned from those two short times was that was not sustainable. We could not do that week upon week upon week upon week. Or I couldn't do that. I'll speak for myself. That this is too much work to do. So we are not talking about some other kind of service. We are basically would be talking about an adaptation of what we do so that we can do it week upon week.
Yeah, I mean, it could be adapted a little bit, perhaps. We talked about you could have one or two fewer readings, could adapt a song here or there. Some things could be changed, but not like a whole other style of worship morning and evening. I think that's probably not what we're talking about having the resources to imagine at this point. When we talk about time and things like that, often comes up that we have a busy building on Sundays, and that's true. You all know that at 2 o'clock, the Malagasy congregation will be here, and then at 5:30, the Germans will be here for their evening service, which they do once a month right now, and then at 7 o'clock, the Brazilian congregation will be here for their service. So it's a busy place on Sundays. I don't think that should be the big barrier in our way, imagining that we can't get around that. There are ways to imagine this going forward. The German congregation and our congregation jointly own the building and so do have kind of priority for how that's used. And if we needed to renegotiate with other communities, that's possible within the contracts that we have with them. So that's not absolutely set in stone forever. If we give fair notice, we can talk about that. Quick, Hans, yeah.
Have you thought about having a second service Saturday night instead of Sunday?
That's one that sounds tougher with my personal schedule, but it's not that if there was a loud groundswell that was a better time. I think if we can just hold questions a little bit, I'm sorry, because I want to hear from everyone, but I think we'll just try to complete this part, and then we have some good structured questions to keep the conversation moving. So just to say, I think there are ways we could work around time of the various communities, including the German congregation, who does have once a month an evening service on Sunday.
And we had also talked about another place, okay? Should we think of another, starting a congregation in Morges or Lausanne, places that would be acceptable for us to go? The first thing with the worship committee was that was harder to do than trying to do a second service here, where we know things and are familiar.
We're almost done.
Yeah, we're almost done talking. Yep. So that's the, I think that's generally where we would be landing on that. If there was some real energy from a sizable group in the congregation to think of something outside this building, I think there could be ways we could think about that. But everything I know about starting a living community in another place says you really need people on the ground there more than 1 hour a week for worship. So that, and I know that I don't have time to spend half my week in Lausanne or something. So it's there, these are things where we would need some pretty creative ways to imagine that, and a lot of strong leadership beyond the church staff, if that's where we were looking. So yes, we're almost done. My sense, and this is learning from other congregations and churches that have done this kind of thing, is that we would not begin this unless we had a group of about, I want to say 30 people, who said, I would make that service my primary service for 6 months to see what happens. Because if we just started this and it was Terry and me and two other people, that isn't terribly attractive to a new person who might come. We're good to hang out with, but most people want a bit more of a community than that. So we would need a group that said, yeah, we would kind of seed that for a while. It's still one congregation. We're not talking about splitting. But we would be looking for people who would be willing to try making this a primary service for a time to see if they could kind of help get it off the ground. And then I think there comes the question of how we continue to keep those communities connected to each other. But that's the kind of creative stuff that we would want to think about together. Is that about it? Yeah. So what I think we have more people in the room than we can handle one big conversation. I think we should maybe split. You don't think so? Or what? I think it might be best to split into like three groups where we're sitting.
Sarah was asking if people couldn't ask the questions generally first before we split.
Is that a good way? Okay, good idea. Good idea. Can somebody write down these questions as they get asked? I would appreciate that. If anybody could volunteer to do that, so that we don't lose them. Jonathan's got it. Thank you. Please ask questions. I know Mark had a hand up. And then we do have a few structured questions that we could imagine three groups talking through.
I don't have a question, and I'm not sure how long I can stay. View the chaos that exists outside this door. It's a comment. I can see, so I'm speaking selfishly and in Geneva with weekends being busy and all that, there's a practical side to having a Sunday evening when your Sunday morning, maybe you're skiing or whatever, your kids are away. But I am concerned about the price that it would take, it would cost to the dynamism, the dynamic of what we all love about the church. And I like the idea of growing is certainly when I hadn't crossed my mind. And so if it were just to make it bigger, but I feel sad at the thought of people opting, you know, of us all not being here together. Because one of the many, many wonderful aspects is the multi-generational and the openness to having kids and, you know, all of that. And I'm afraid that might dissipate.
Again, not a question, but I think one of the challenges is exactly what you said about last Sunday. Last Sunday was wonderful, beautiful day. Everyone was off skiing. And sorry to say this, but again, we going away every weekend and having our place in Montreux, if there was a Sunday evening service, we know quite a few families who would actually opt for that and have even discussed that. We've even met those families in other churches that have a Sunday evening service. So when it comes down to it, I think that there is actually a very large demand in this community, albeit it's not the demand from the people that are necessarily sitting in this room. It's actually from the people who aren't in this room. And that's the challenge of it, whether we as a congregation are willing to share the beauty of our service and the beauty of our music and the beauty of our pastor and our director of music with those who aren't here right now, but those who would potentially be here on a Sunday evening.
Yeah, thanks very much. I was just curious, what's been the experience with the German-speaking congregation? Have they considered a second service, and how's it gone for them with their once-a-month evening service?
Yeah, they started that with the idea of having that be a very distinctly different kind of worship. So they were doing that with some worship that had a different musical style or a different contemplative feel or things like that once a month on Sunday evening, and then canceling their Sunday morning service on those days with the idea that there's only one service a Sunday, sometimes in the morning, mostly in the morning, once a month in the evening. And my understanding from doing that is that that's essentially morphed into the same crowd going to both because there's only one service each week. So I don't, and I think Mark said over time that's also kind of the character of the liturgy has become more similar between the two services also. So it's not so different, it's just once a month a different time.
Like Claire, I don't have a question really, but I do have a worry about your well-being, Andy. And I wonder if you have talked to Greta about this, because you have a family, you're working a lot already, and quite clearly that's my concern. I would personally also like it, like the others. Sometimes I feel I could imagine my family, the kids are older now, that would be a very, very nice way for them on a Sunday night to go to bed with Terry's beautiful music and with your wonderful words. That would be extremely nice for a teenage family and for me as well. Would send me off in a nice into a nice week. But I am clearly worried about both of your health.
Yeah, maybe touching into previous comments in terms of the community, I think we need to guide that in a way. I'm very open also to this idea of evening worship, but it really appeals. But we need to seek a way how the community, as Claire was mentioning and others, are still being carried on in a way. It might demand a little bit of those that are able to maybe sometimes go twice, you know, to sort of carry that through. I can see I'm just wondering how when you were discussed it, how you were thinking about the bond of the community and the way how the catching up after in coffee hour, you know, that type of thing. How we sort of keep that really in mind. You might have thought about that, so it would be lovely to hear about it.
Was there one back there? No. I do break into smaller groups. Yeah, good. There's a lot of food for thought already. I don't want to dodge the question, Doreen, because it's a very important one. I don't have an obvious answer for it. I mean, I think that's always a challenge. But then it would be up to us as a community to think of ways that we ensure there are common events. If there, you know, because these worship times, if it really is evening, 5:30 o'clock, whatever it is. There'd be a lot of time between the two, and so generally they wouldn't, if people really just went to one all the time, they wouldn't necessarily cross paths people who just go to the other. So there would have to be an effort that we make some common events and maybe encourage people, if they want to switch up every once in a while. That can happen too. But I think, good, if we can ask people, I think we could take even just 15 or 20 minutes in small groups. We have some questions that I should probably grab a big board and write them on so that you can see them. Or maybe we just do that. Okay, good. So we kind of have, I think, about three groups is right. So just cluster where you are in about three groups. I think Sarah can facilitate one. Christine, you can facilitate one over here. And can somebody, Doreen, maybe over in this